Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verse 13, reads this way. It says, "But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne this morning, thanking you again, Lord, for the privilege of gathering together and to worship you and to hear from you. And so, Lord, we ask your blessings on your word, on each and every one of us, Lord, as your people, that we might hear from you and worship you in spirit and in truth. Bless, Lord, build Northwood for your honor and glory in all your churches, and we'll give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message this morning is, For Thy Prayer Is Heard. Thy prayer is heard. That's a good thing, amen? When we pray, we want God to hear our prayers. And as we move forward, really, into this Christmas season, we celebrate the gift of the Son of God that gives us redemption. And God will take notice here, as we look to this portion of Scripture, that God is in control and moves in the life of His faithful people, amen? God is wanting to work in our lives, listen, to bring His will to pass. And we're going to take note of this, that God was working in the life here of Zacharias and Elizabeth, and He's wanting to work in our lives. Now, there's a lot of people that have some strange ideas, but here's what we know. Jesus Christ came and died to pay for the sins of all humanity, every human being, and that by faith, if we will put our faith and trust in Him, we can be saved. Amen? Not by our strength, but by the grace of God. And that glorifies Him. And by the way, it pleases the Lord to save us. That's His will. That's His desire. He came and gave us His Son to give us eternal life. That excites the Lord. That brings joy into the presence of God. Isn't that amazing that God loves us like that? Now, when we consider this, I want you to think about this also. And this is what kind of throws some people. God is not willing that any should perish. But here's the truth. Ready? The word election and predestinate are in the Bible, but not how some interpret it. In other words, some people believe that only a certain few people are going to be saved. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches for whosoever will. Amen? That's anybody. But here's what's left out, or here's what maybe might bring the confusion, and that is God's foreknowledge. God foreknows everybody and what they're going to do, and that's how God plans everything out. God, in eternity past, because He's God, And forgive me, I can't explain it because I don't really understand it, but God already knows everything you and I are going to do. Amen. And God has woven His will through our will. We're not robots. We have the freedom to choose or to reject the Lord, right? And so, and by the way, and I want you to know, God's will is that nobody rejects the Lord. But the Bible does teach that some people like darkness more than they do the Lord, and so they choose to reject the Lord. But listen, God looks into our lives, and I want you to have this thought in your mind, because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, is He not? Amen. He is still fulfilling His will in our lifetime, is He not? There is coming a day, I think, that God is waiting. God knows the last person that's going to be saved, does He not? He knows our salvation. He knows the last person that's going to be saved. And when the last person gets saved, I think the rapture is probably going to take place. Amen? And so we don't know who that person is, and we don't know, maybe there's two at the same time. I don't know. I don't have the answers to that, but I do believe that God knows everything that's ever going to take place. And so He looks into the lives of individuals. We're going to see that here this morning and also in our lifetime. And He sees what we're going to do. And so here's the question. Do we want to live by faith or trust in God? Amen? Those two words are interchangeable. Faith and trust are the same things. I have my faith or my trust in the Lord, and I'm not going to lean to my own understanding. And so if I put my faith in the Lord, God sees that, and He, listen, wants to bless that. Isn't that amazing? God wants to honor those that honor Him. And if we have faith or trust in the Lord, that pleases God. We can please the Lord. Can you believe that? And saying, God, I trust You, and I believe in You, and I want to walk in Your ways. And here's the truth. We can't do it by ourselves, and God knows that, but He says if we'll call upon Him, He'll empower our lives. He'll do everything that we need to do. That's how it started, right? Through salvation, we put our faith and trust in Him, and He saved us, and He gave us That inner knowledge to know that we have been forgiven and given eternal life, and that gives us confidence. I cannot imagine, we were talking about this in Sunday school, I think Brother Tom mentioned, you know, it's scary for people when you ask them, are you going to heaven? And they say, I hope so. My goodness, listen, if they're hoping so, they don't know so, and God does a work. Listen, when we put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for eternal life, and that alone, not our goodness, not our righteousness, but His alone, God does a work in our hearts and minds that lets us know we have been forgiven eternally and will never come into condemnation, and then we've been adopted and placed into the family of God. That is what, listen, that is the objective concerning eternal life. God gives that to every believer and wants us to have that assurance. Listen, man, I never once went home to my parents' house and wondered if I could walk in the house. Amen? I never once thought I needed to ask if I could get something out of the refrigerator. Now, if I went to my parents, my wife's parents' house, I didn't do any of that, right? But in my parents' home, because they're my mom and dad, they always said, help yourself to whatever. My house is your house, amen? And they tell that to my kids. In fact, my kids, I remember, do you think grandma or grandpa would mind if, and whatever it was? And I, of course not. Help yourself. And they would tell them that. Help yourself. Listen, God loves His own more than we love our own. And God wants us to have that kind of confidence. Jesus said to us, listen, if you ask anything of the Father, He says, He'll do it. He will give it. And Jesus was speaking. He says, much more will He do that concerning the Holy Spirit that helps us in the things of God. So as we look to our portion of Scripture, I want you to notice three thoughts this morning. And that is the Lord's providence. And keep this in mind. God is looking to fulfill His will. Guess where? In our lives, right? In our hearts and in our lives. So do we have faith and trust and believe that God will do that? And God looks at that and says, so be it unto us according to your faith. Amen? God wants to do that. So here's the first thought, the Lord's providence. The second one is the Lord's plan for His people. And the last thought will be the Lord's answer to prayer. Amen? And by the way, this is all concerning the bringing forth and the order of the coming of the Son of God that would give us eternal life. So let's consider this. Let's look at a couple little things here, maybe a little bit of trivial stuff here. But I want you to look at verse 5 here. It says, there was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias. In fact, let's finish that verse. Of the course of Abiah, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. Okay, so we have Zacharias and Elizabeth. Now, I want to stop right here and hold your place right here. We're going to come back here, but I want you to see something. Herod was the deputy, if you will, the king, if you will, for the Roman Empire. And he made Judea a province for the empire, showing that the scepter truly was departed from Judah. Now, why is this so significant? I'm glad you asked. Go with me over to the book of Genesis, if you will, just for a moment. Genesis, and look at chapter 49. I want you to see this, because this is a fulfillment of Scripture. What Herod did to Judea was in preparation. Listen, God is in control of every situation. Amen. Isn't that good? God was even in control of Herod being the king. And he pulled Judea out of, really, its own power. It now became a province and part of the Roman Empire. And so notice what it says here in Genesis chapter 49, verse 10. Jacob speaking, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come. That's the Messiah. And unto him shall the gathering of the people be. In other words, when the Messiah comes, the scepter will be removed from Judah. Guess what Herod did? Herod removed the scepter from Judah. Amen? That is fulfillment of God's prophecy. Listen, Jacob was prophesying to the people of God what would happen before the Messiah would come. Now, here's the crazy thing. The Jewish people didn't understand it. And they rejected the Lord. If you wanted any evidence that Jesus was the Messiah, the scepter had departed from Judah at that very moment, and Jesus comes on the scene. Amen? Go back with me, if you will. In fact, just stay right there, something else. You're right here in the book of Genesis. Go just another book over to the book of Exodus, chapter 6, verse 23. Here's something kind of interesting. Remember Zacharias' wife's name, who was of the daughters of Aaron, the priest? Her name was Elizabeth, right? Notice this right here. Exodus chapter 6, verse 23 says this. And Aaron took him Elisheba. That's Elizabeth. That's another name for Elizabeth, the daughter of Aminadab, sister of Nashon, to wife, and he bare him Nadab and Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar. So Aaron himself also had a wife that was named Elizabeth, all right? This is a derivative of Elizabeth. And another thing, you remember our prophet's name that God was dealing with in the New Testament? Let's go back over to the book of Luke, and his name was Zacharias, if you'll remember. An angel is getting ready to talk with him, amen? Now, listen, this is just some information for you, but it shows the congruency and it shows the order of God. The last prophet in the Old Testament to speak to an angel was Zechariah. Amen? The first prophet to talk to an angel was Zacharias. Amen? So here's some order and some congruency here and God's work and what he's doing. And now let's consider the Lord's province here and what he's doing. So again, verse 5 says, there was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the order of Abiah, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. Notice this. And they were both righteous before God, listen to this, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. What a testimony. Amen. What a testimony. Listen, do you think that they did that in their own strength? God put it in their hearts. You know, it is God that will put it in our hearts that will cause us to say, you know what? The things of this world are not as important as the things that are eternal. We all know none of us are taking anything with us out of this world. The only thing we just go with our own souls. Even our bodies are going to be in the grave, amen? And then God's going to restore that. And so why does God want us to understand that? Why is that such an important truth? So that we don't misunderstand the priorities on this side of eternity. That we realize the thing that has the greatest value is our relationship with the Lord, which in turn will bring others into a relationship with the Lord. If we're looking to the things that are eternal to be more important than the things that are temporal. And that's to understand, listen, God wants us to hunger and thirst after him and his righteousness in our lives. And so, Lord, help me not to be misled by things that are temporal. And listen, I'm not telling you that entertainment is a bad thing, but I want you to think about this. Listen, when it comes to entertainment, most of it is fiction. You know, when you cry at a movie, did I just confess? Anyway, when you cry and watch a sad movie, and if it's not real, you wasted your tears, amen? Because that person didn't die. They're just going to get up off the scene when the producer says cut, amen? And so we waste 2 hours, an hour and a half, whatever the length of the movie might be, for something that has no eternal bearing, when I could have been being fed by the Word of God concerning spiritual matters. I'm not saying that you shouldn't watch movies. I'm just saying don't give them priority over the things that are spiritual. Amen? The things that are passing away, sometimes we put more emphasis on those things than the things that are eternal. Listen, the reason why Zacharias and Elizabeth had that kind of a relationship was because they were given to the things of God and they were moved by the things of God and they loved the Lord. Amen? And by the way, if you're saved, I know you love the Lord, but let's give ourselves to him in a way that he can work to his honor and glory in our lives. And where we are amazed, amen, where we stand in awe and in thankfulness and in praise and in worship to our God for the work that he's doing, not just in eternal life, but on this side of eternity, giving us his grace and power to glorify him. So watch this. Notice what happens right here. Verse 6 again. And they were both, his wife and him, both righteous before God. God, listen, not only died to give us eternal life, but he died and rose again to give us his righteousness on this side of eternity. So here's the question. Do we have the faith or trust in the Lord to bring that to pass? I know I can't walk in God's ways without the Lord. And so any success I give to the Lord. Amen. I can praise him. Thank you, God, for it. And by the way, any failure, I'll take the blame. Lord, I took my eyes off of you. Lord, I put my eyes on the wrong thing. Not necessarily sinful things, but things that distracted me from seeking you. All right? So notice this. Verse 7. And they had no child because that Elizabeth was barren, and they were both now well stricken in years. They were like grandparents. Well stricken in years. I was in my 50s, and I was walking with Josiah. I was still holding his hand. You know, I don't remember how old he was, and I was in a store. Oh, he's such a handsome boy. Is that your grandson? I'm like, no, he's not my grandson. Huh? Make me feel good, right? Come on, Josiah, we're leaving. You know. But anyway, they're well stricken in years. And it was obvious. And here's the truth. Ready? They had no children. But wait. I'm gonna get to the punchline. Ready? We know that God's gonna bring forth John the Baptist through them. Amen. So fathom this. Listen, God knew because of his foreknowledge that these two individuals were gonna put him first and be faithful, and God was gonna bless them. So in eternity past, he saw that, and he already planned out John the Baptist is gonna be their kid. Isn't that something? Listen. God is looking to our lives and looking, are we willing to sell out to God and be faithful to him that he might bless us? We can still, God already knows, this hurts my brain, God already knows what we're going to do, but I want you to know, we still have a choice. Every day we have a choice whether or not we will submit and surrender our will to the Lord and trust him for the best, or are we going to try to do it ourselves? Lord, do I want to seek and experience you and your grace and power and mercy in my life and blessing and answers to prayer, and that you might use me as a vessel for your honor and glory to tell others about Jesus? God, listen, if we are given to the Lord, he will give himself to us. And he will give himself to us in such a way that he will give us the right words, because the Spirit will be working and will share the gospel with people and they'll get saved. And we're not just talking about a mere profession. We're talking about other people that will hunger and thirst for God and his righteousness. If we'll have it. If we want it. So notice verse 8. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course. So he was doing the priestly duty there. According to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. Now he's not in the Holy of Holies, but he is burning the incense there. And notice this. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. Now I don't know about you, but I think he was taken by this, don't you? I think, listen, this brought excitement into his relationship with God. He's the only one. God wants to bring excitement into our relationship with him. So, verse 11, and there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing at the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, so here's this, he appears there. So get this, right? He appears that he's doing his work. And he saw him. And he's looking at him. When he saw him, he was troubled and fear fell upon him. Listen, it's an amazing thing. God brings a reverential fear into our hearts and minds when he reveals and gives us a glimpse of his glory. But the angel said unto him, verse 13, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. You know, there's no doubt in my mind that Zacharias knew what he was praying about. And maybe he was wondering, which of my prayers is he talking about? And he's going to tell him. But listen, this was how about if God sends you a message, your prayers have been heard? Wouldn't that encourage you? God, the one who called us to pray, wants to give us an incentive to keep on praying. Do you think he knew this? Do you think he knew this truth that we say all the time? God answers prayer. He answers prayer. And so notice what he says here. He says, the angel said unto him, verse 13, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. Isn't that great? And again, remember this, God saw Zacharias and Elizabeth's faithfulness and plan. All this was part of God's plan. By the way, we just learned that salvation was part of God's plan even before we were born.
Right. Amen.
Amen? Hey, God, listen, God, is God a God of love? Is God a God of truth?
Amen.
And he's a God of truth. And he cannot lie. He will not lie. And he says, if you'll call on me, I'll answer. And when I answer, I'm going to show you great and mighty things which thou knewest not. Do you think Zacharias and Elizabeth ever dreamed they were going to have a kid? They didn't. A son, no less. Oh, wait a minute. A prophet of God. Amen? To proclaim the word of God. They never thought this was going to happen. Never understood this. But now they're getting this message. You're going to have a son, and you're going to call his name John. Verse 14, and thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. Wow. So, question, let me ask you this. Did God fulfill that joy? He did. He's true to that. We know that because God's faithful. So here's the Lord's plan for his people. We have his faithful servants and we have his faithful people. And by the way, look at verse 10 and notice what it says here. And the whole multitude were praying without the time of incense. So here you have Zacharias in the temple burning incense. And where are the people? They're out praying. They're outside praying. They're calling upon the Lord. They took this relationship and this matter of God seriously, and God moved because he saw their faith. Listen, God is wanting to move if he'll see our faith. I am convinced if we will make an altar in our house, and maybe you already have one, and we will. And by the way, it doesn't come easy. It doesn't. Anything worth having doesn't come. It's not automatic, right? I can watch a marathon runner. What is it, 26 miles they run? Is a marathon 26 miles? I think it's something like that anyway. I'll do that tomorrow. Why are you laughing, brother? I wouldn't make 2 miles running. Amen?
Yeah.
I wouldn't. But what if I want to be a marathon runner tomorrow? You'd say, you're going to hurt yourself. That takes time, doesn't it? Now, could I be a marathon runner? I really don't want to be one, but could I be one? Why don't I want to be one? Because it's going to kill me. Amen. But here it is. You have to work at it. You have to work at it. So maybe I would start by walking a mile first, or walking 2 miles, and then walking, and then I'll try to jog. I was going to jog, but you might laugh at me. But anyway, I'll try to do a little jog, a little ways. Anyway, and so it's going to take some time, and it's going to take practice, and it's going to take effort, the same way with prayer and anything with the Lord. If we are willing to make an altar at home and say, I'm going to give God, I don't know, I'm just throwing a number out there, 10 or 15 minutes every day at this altar. You have a place in your house where you sit and meet with the Lord and call upon him and say, oh God, I want to see you work in my life. Hey, that is the recipe, according to the word of God, for his blessings in our life.
Amen.
For souls to be saved.
Right,
for revival to take place in our lives. And so here were the people, they were outside praying. Here was Zacharias, and he was hearing from the Lord. And notice what he says. He says, you're going to have a son. The people are going to be glad. They're going to rejoice. Verse 15, for he shall be great in the sight of the Lord and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. Wow.
Amen.
That's amazing. He says, you're going to have a son, and I'm going to see to it that he's going to wind up on the straight and narrow road.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen?
Listen, is God not the same yesterday, today, and forever?
Amen.
He still wants to bless our lives, even today. God still wants to work in our lives to glorify his son and bless his people.
Right.
So what he wants to do, there's no doubt about it. So notice as we consider this, he answers these prayers, and he's leading Zacharias to understand, and the angel is revealing really God's reward to him for his faithfulness. And notice what he says here in verse 16, and many of the children of Israel shall be turned to the Lord their God.
Amen.
That's a good thing. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias. Remember, the Lord told him this is Elijah that was supposed to come. Amen. And so he's telling him here that he's going to come in the power and spirit of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Who's doing that work? God. But why is he doing it? Because he found a faithful servant. You know, God, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself perfect or strong in the behalf of those whose hearts are perfect toward him. Amen. He's still working. He's still looking. God, do that work in us. And so here the Lord is really revealing to him and what he's going to do. And he has a little bit of a problem here. This man is a faithful man. Amen. His wife was faithful and God was blessing him, and he really kind of asked the wrong question here, but that's okay. God was still working with him. And notice what happens right here. He's in verse 18, and Zacharias said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man and my wife well stricken in years. So here's the question. Ready? Where was Zacharias looking at? Bingo. And you know what he was saying? Can't happen. I don't have it within me. I don't have it within me. We will never do anything for God if that's what we're looking at. I don't have it. I will tell you, I don't have it within me. But we are indwelt with the Spirit, and God has it within him. And you know what? God will bless us with him. Amen. And guide us and lead us to honor and glorify him. So he says, hey, I don't understand this. I'm well stricken in years. My wife is well stricken in years. Verse 19, and the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God. Wow. Wow. He just doesn't get an angel. He got the same angel that spoke to Daniel. Amen. He got the same angel we'll see tonight that spoke to Mary. Amen. And so he got the angel that was from the very presence of God. And notice what he says. He says, I am Gabriel that stand in the presence, verse 19, in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee and to show thee these glad tidings. These are glad tidings. You're going to have a son. And notice what happens right here. He says, verse 20, and behold, thou shalt be dumb. I showed you these glad tidings. I'm going to give you something. Now understand this. This is God's remedy for unbelief to strengthen our faith. Listen, there's some discomfort in unbelief. But listen, it brings forth faith, the peaceable fruit. Did Thomas have some unbelief? Yes. Yeah, and he was humiliated, wasn't he? He was humbled. Peter had some unbelief. Yes. And did he weep bitterly? Yes. But did it put him on a better plane with God? Amen. It did, and God used him. So really, the way up is to be humble before our God. And sometimes, if we're seeking the Lord, he even does the work of humility. So notice what happens here. He says, because you didn't believe, In fact, look at verse 20 again. And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, the Son would come, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. So look what he left them with. These words that I told you, the promise I gave you, it's going to be fulfilled. So in the midst of being mute, he was looking forward to a son. In the midst of being mute, looking forward to a son, he knew that he would be able to speak again when he had a son. So it was a difficult trial, but he saw the end in sight. All right, so notice this. And the people waited, verse 21, for Zacharias, listen, and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. When we are seeking God, other people are also affected by the grace of God in our lives. Other believers are encouraged by the grace that God is fulfilling and placing into our lives. So these people, they're excited. They're waiting for him. They're marveling because he tarried so long. Verse 22, and when he came out, he could not speak unto them. And listen, they perceived, this is what they saw, that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. They knew that he had met with the Lord. They knew that God was working in his life. By the way, his life already backed it up. But did he speak any words?
No.
And yet they knew. Can God do that?
Yes.
God, listen, can God use us
Amen.
To glorify his name in sharing the gospel message with other people and they get saved?
Amen.
He can. Listen, he, God, can in us. He can in us, and he wants to. And so they were speechless. He remained speechless. Verse 23, and it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men. Listen, she kept herself back. No doubt Zacharias knew. So now his faith was even more encouraged because my wife's expecting. God has performed what he's promised. And now I know when he's born, I'll have my voice, but better yet, I'll have a son. Amen. And a son that will honor and glorify the Lord and be used for his honor and glory. Isn't that, as parents, isn't that what we want for our children? I don't have grandchildren, but if I had grandchildren, I want my grandchildren to serve the Lord. And great-grandchildren. Amen?
Amen?
So here's the question tonight, or this morning. Can we be confident with salvation if we believe and obey the Lord's word? We can, right? If we're saved.
Right.
God will bring his will to pass in our lives for his glory and our blessing if we'll place our faith and trust in him and seek him as he's directed us. If we will humble ourselves and pray, God said, I'll hear from heaven. And I'll do whatever work is needed to be done. Listen, my confidence is not in the government for God's glory. How about you? Listen, our confidence, if anything's going to be done that's worth doing, it'll be done in God's house. And it'll be done by God himself through his people. And listen, it's not... the economy, and though some people think it is the righteousness of God that will exalt any nation. And listen, we are a very wicked and depraved people for what is taking place in our society, and we should not accept or condone any of that mess, but we should pray, and, oh God, give us revival in our church, in our city, in our state, and in our nation. See, may we not be settled in on our lees and the taste remain in us when God wants to change us. May we not just say, oh, I got eternal life and I'm okay. Because listen, there are souls that Jesus died for that are perishing every day. And may God give us a heart for him. Listen, the whole plan of God, the whole Bible is about the redemption of mankind, is it not? And he has not changed one bit in our day and age.
Amen.
And so may we as God's people say, oh God, use us.
Amen.
Do a work in our hearts and minds that we might seek you like never before. And then we'll truly celebrate the birth and the gift of God's Son.
Amen.
To us and to the whole world. Would you stand? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your word, your wisdom and understanding that you bring to our hearts and minds. I do pray, Lord, that you would embed your truth in our hearts and minds. And Lord, that we would seek you in a fresh and vibrant way. May you do that work in our hearts and minds, that we might seek you on a daily basis for revival in our own lives and for the salvation of souls, Lord. What a honor and a glory to your name and a blessing to us and our families and in our lives. So move amongst us, Lord. Thank you for each one that's here. Bless each one, Lord, and help us to be the light you've called us to be. And we'll give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.